Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. You know, I'm old enough to clearly remember the 1980s. That makes me ancient. The 60s and 70s are a little fuzzy, but I remember the 1980s. And I remember that there was a true story going on during that decade. It was about President Ronald Reagan. Now, there was a young boy who was suffering from terminal bone cancer. That's the sad part of the story. But Ronald Reagan called him on the phone to reassure him. And the interesting thing is that while President Reagan was on the phone, another call came in. So this 18-year-old kid said, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, would you please hold?" You put him on hold. The President of the United States. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that rather amusing, the thought of an 18-year-old boy saying, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, but I have another call. Could you please hold?" Then he pushes a button, and there's the President of the United States sitting there, waiting for a teenager. You know, there's something really rather affirming about that, because my guess is that most of us have had that same experience of being put on hold. None of us really enjoys it. Of course, modern technology has become a part of our lives. So, that's what we have to deal with. It gets more complicated all the time. But it occurs to me that this experience was a part of life long before the telephone was even thought of. And actually, that's the theme of our scripture readings for today. The people of Israel were in bondage in Babylon. And they longed for deliverance. So the prophet Isaiah assured them that God had not forgotten his people and that he would intervene on their behalf. He said, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now that was a poetic way of saying God's coming. Get ready for him. But the prophet did not say when God was coming. He simply delivered the promise and said, in effect, "Will you hold, please?" So the people waited. What else could they do? And our gospel reading is a continuation of that same theme. Several hundred years have passed. The people of Israel are back in the land of Judea, but still they are not free. Their homeland had been conquered by the Romans. And they once more longed for deliverance. Then there appeared in the desert a rugged prophet, echoing those familiar words from Isaiah, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And of course the prophet's name was John. You know, some thought that he was the promised Messiah. But John said, "One more powerful than I is coming after me." In other words, "I'm not the Messiah. But he is coming." Then John's message ends with the same implied question. "Would you hold, please?" And once more, the people wait. Well, we know, of course, that this time they did not have to wait long. The Messiah did come, but most people did not recognize him because he was not what they expected. They wanted a military leader with a sword in his hand. Instead, they got a Galilean carpenter with love in his heart. So most people turned their backs and walked away. However, there were a few who believed in him and followed him. At long last, they had found a Messiah. But even for them, the waiting was not over. Our second reading from today says, "We wait for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is at home." And the early Christians waited for that. And we're still waiting for that today. Have you ever noticed how much of your life and mine is invested in waiting? We wait at an intersection for the light to turn green. You wait in the checkout line to pay for your groceries. You wait to see the doctor. And then after that, you have to wait to get the report. You wait for a letter to arrive or for the telephone to ring. You wait for payday. You wait for Christmas. You wait for spring. You wait for next year, hoping that it will be better. So you see, we find ourselves in the same position as the ancient Jews and the early Christians. We are waiting for some grand and glorious fulfillment, but life keeps saying to us, "Would you hold, please?" You know, I'm convinced that if you and I are ever going to really live, we must do it in the meantime and not wait for it to happen out there somewhere in the future. A while ago, I came across a poem written by a man named Robert Hastings. It's entitled, "The Station." And in part, it reads, and I quote, "Tucked away in our minds is this idyllic vision. We see ourselves on a long trip across the continent, and we're traveling by train. Out the windows, we can watch the passing scenery, cars on a nearby highway, children waving at the crossing, cattle grazing on a distant hillside, flatlands and mountains, valleys and rolling hills. But uppermost in our minds is the final destination. On a certain day, at a certain hour, we will pass into the station. And once we get there, then our dreams will come true. And the pieces of our lives will all fall into place. So restlessly, we walk the aisle, eagerly waiting for the station. When we get there, life will begin. When I'm 18, when I buy a new house, when I put the last kid through college, when I pay off the mortgage, when I reach retirement, I shall live happily ever after. Sooner or later, we must realize that the station is only a dream. The joy of life is in the trip itself. Stop pacing the aisles and counting the miles. Enjoy the scenery. Get to know your fellow passengers. Watch more sunsets. Eat more ice cream. Laugh more, cry less. Life must be lived as we go along. The station is only a dream." Now, we're in the middle of the season of Advent, and we're waiting for Christmas. And after Christmas, we'll be waiting for the new year. And after that, we will be waiting for something else, because that is the way life is. But in the meantime, let's not forget to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen.